We are set to go, sir.
Okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. Ms. Burnham, if you will, please read the roll call.
Okay. So in the room, we have David Reed, myself, Nick Banastoff, Paul Fussy, Tim Woodall, Kevin Farrell, Richard Sasai, and Sandy Puckett. And then on Teams, I have yourself, Colonel DeAngelis, Director Bradley Whalen, Gina Burrington, John Rockwell, TJ Erickson, Danny Scotia Cockrell, Pete Rogel, Rick Rambo, and have I missed anybody? And sir, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any opening statements and other announcements? Hearing none, we will now move on to the approval of the January meeting minutes. Or is that supposed to be April? I'm sorry. Yeah. Of the April meeting notice. Has everyone had a chance to review the April minutes, and do you have any requested changes at this time?
Nothing from the room, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Would any of the other council members please offer a motion by stating your name and a second by stating your name to approve the April meeting minutes?
Brad Whalen, I make a motion. Sorry. I'll second then. Go ahead.
That was Gina Burrington making the motion to approve.
And Brad Whalen, I'll second.
All right. Are there any objections or further discussion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Moving on to old business items. For the State Interoperability Governing Body, this item is still tabled. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any new updates on the SIGB?
I do not, sir. Thank you very much.
Long-term cost share solution is the next item. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Colonel, I apologize. There are no new updates at this time.
All right. For the IGSA, Mr. Woodall, are there any updates on the intergovernmental support agreement?
Yes. Of course, last meeting, I announced that the Secretary of the Air Force level, they had approved the Air Force installations in the state of Alaska entering in ALMR, the ALMR members entering into the IGSA with the state of Alaska to receive operations management infrastructure maintenance services. We were then given the okay to begin the drafting of the inter-service support agreement, which we have in a near final draft form and ready for coordination. We on the DOD side are working out exactly who our signatories will be. And we think we have that figured out and working towards that. With regard to the Army at the Department of the Army level, they're equivalent to SAF IE or the Secretary of the Air Force. So at the Secretary of the Army level, they are moving towards approving the Army entering into a inter-service support agreement with the state of Alaska for same said services. We expect, based on our last meeting with the Department of Army and the 59th Signal Commander, that hopefully by the end of this month and no longer than 90 days from a few weeks ago, we should have the Army concurrence. And with regard to the IGSA, we have already drafted the IGSA. It is in 100% compliance with the terms and conditions of the Air Force's IGSA. Only thing that will change are the member agencies that are identified. So we hope to have both IGSAs ready for signature, hopefully by the end of September. At that point, what that means is that the Department of Defense, as an infrastructure owner, has been receiving contracted services that the state of Alaska executed. So we were third-party beneficiaries to that contract. In other words, we were not signatory to it, but we were receiving services from it. Without an inter-service support agreement in place, tracking the money, procuring the money through appropriations processes, and receiving the services, the Department of Defense was not protected. This gives us a contractual a contractual relationship with the state of Alaska, who will continue to contract for those services. It also allows the state of Alaska to perform services through their State of Alaska Public Communications Office that's here in this building. So from a microwave perspective or any other from radio perspective, the state of Alaska can also perform services. So I think that will put DOD in a good place. It will also codify the relationship that we have with the state, and it should help with the funding issues that we've had in the past. So hopefully next time we have a meeting, I can announce that the IGSAs have been signed and everything that was a problem before will hopefully have been resolved. So I'll end with that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Next is radio inventory. Mr. Fussy, do you have any updates on this?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So as everyone knows, the goal is to have all radios on the system TDMA capable by December 31st, 2026. So we've been working with other agencies to make sure that they're getting TDMA radios, and we're working with them to actually activate their talk groups. So Nick and the SMO team have been doing that. So a couple weeks ago, we did activate TDMA for all the Matsu Borough, and we are getting ready to turn it on for Palmer, and we're still working with Fairbanks to get theirs turned on. But slowly but surely, we're turning the spigot on, and we'll, once again, to reiterate to the group here, we don't want to turn them all on at once because we are running into a little hiccups, if you will. One agency thought their radios were ready to go, turn them on to TDMA, found out they had to do some more software upgrades. So they're working to complete that before we turn them on to TDMA. So that's why we're doing it a little bit at a time, because we do not want to put anybody in danger when their radio's not working. So slowly but surely we're working it on. That's the update I have for TDMA, FDMA, Colonel.
Thank you. Next is the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDA. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As reported previously, we have the engineering done on the courthouse, both Rabinowitz and Palmer. We have funding secured. We do have the funding available to us, and I've already created the allocations for the Rabinowitz Courthouse. We have the documentation into purchasing, so it should be moving forward as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is the Motorola Operations Services Contract. If Mr. Stormo's on, do you have any updates on this?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. With your permission, I'd just like to talk about letters F, Foxtrot, and Golf, with your permission.
No issues. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stormo is out today, short notice. So the Motorola Operations Service Contract, I know they're working on that with Mr. Woodall. I don't have an update for that one. The Tudor Road electrical work, August 2nd and 3rd, this past weekend, the contractors were out and working on the system. They were able to bypass the generator, and there were some folks here from APSDS were on scene. Both Saturday and Sunday, as electrical work went on. We do have a new transfer box in the back, and all work has been completed at this time for the building. I do not have an update if there is power out to the yard yet. However, we didn't have any loss from the master site for electrical. So right now, that work, as far as I know, is done except for the yard, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the updates. Does anyone have any questions or comments on any of the old business items? Having completed the old business, Mr. Nelson, would you please update us on the user council?
Hello, Mr. Chair. This is Tammy Goja Cockrell, and I'll be speaking today as the vice. Mr. Nelson was not able to attend. A few items from the last user council meeting. User council vacancies, alternate Southeast municipalities, and an alternate the State Department of Interior. General information updates were provided by the operations manager, the systems manager, State of Alaska, DOD, and user council representatives. Mr. Stormo noted, that APSCS is getting closer to an actual date for when the new shelter and new tower will be going up at Henny Range in Cordova. Lieutenant Ben Endres with DPS noted that they had meeting and training at on Jay Buck Bear with the Army National Guard on the 20th through the 22nd of July to work on communications and essentially to get everyone on the same page as it relates to communications during a search and rescue. Miss Erin Kawara of Juneau hosted the ORCA 2025 joint training exercise with the Army National Guard, law enforcement, fire department, state and tribal members on June 9th through the 12th, and they utilized the ALMR talk groups for the exercise. She also commented that they are still working on console upgrades at the Juneau Police Department, police and fire dispatch, and connectivity to ALMR with this upgrade. And that is all I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Tammy at this point? Mr. Fussy, would you please provide the Operations Management Office update?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So everyone, we'll start out with the training and outreach. So Dan Nelson, who does our training videos for us, he's uploaded the website a training video covering preventive maintenance. So we were getting some calls from the field. Why are the towers are going down for an hour here, 2 hours here, sometimes up to 5 hours? And that's when Nick and his team are out doing preventive maintenance, doing inspections, taking a look at all the equipment. So we did a training video on that to better educate everyone on why the towers are going down. And then Claire from the help desk does a phenomenal job of reaching out to the areas, letting them know ahead of time what towers will be going down, what areas will be affected, and then also putting it out on the email. So the training video covers that to try and help everyone understand what PMIs are and why they're being done. As previously stated, I'm working on contacting all the members, see if any questions about the radio upgrades. I have been sitting through the Alaska Municipal League meetings. Two weeks ago, there's a really good one on grants. So I'm working with some of the grant managers from Alaska Municipal League to try and find any federal monies that are out there for small departments or smaller agencies that just don't have the funding assets to get new radios. Like I said before, we're working on the TDMA, turning them on, and we should have a couple more agencies turned on to TDMA next week. We did get contacted by one particular group that wanted us to activate their talk groups for TDMA. However, they don't have a specific talk group that belongs to them. They use talk groups that belong to other agencies. Therefore, when we talk to them, we let them know and advise them that they would need to get permission from the parent agency of that talk group before we could activate TDMA for them. So that's just one of the things we looked at. But once we get permission from the parent group for that TDMA talk group, then we'll turn it on for them. Because all their radios right now are currently TDMA. So that's one of the other reasons why we're just going slowly but surely turning it on. Mary has done phenomenal work contacting the membership members for their signed membership agreement. They're due July 1st. There are a couple agencies that haven't signed them yet. So we have 9 agreements that need to be completed, which were ahead of last year. But keep in mind, there's over 140 agencies on the system. So only having 9 left by this time of year, we're way ahead. The July newsletter was sent out on the 15th. And as a friendly reminder, Mary puts it out digitally on our website, and all the newsletters everybody can take a look at digitally. I also take hard copies and mail them to all the state legislatures and all the federal legislatures for Alaska out in D.C. So they all get mailed hard copies. As previously stated, what brought up was Tammy, but on July 21st, I was requested by DPS to go out to the Army National Guard. Nick and I went out there, and a technician from Scott's shop, and over at Bryant Field, there was a huge SAR exercise. We had Air National Guard, Army National Guard, the Coast Guard, the Department of Public Safety, and multiple search and rescue groups out there, and they were looking for help from us to find a common frequency that they could all talk to. So going through their talk groups and their radios, we were able to come up with the State 1 interoperability channel. All the agencies were able to put that on their radios, already have that on their radios, and doing comm checks out there, it worked phenomenal. So that way the volunteer search and rescue groups can talk to military helicopters and vice versa. So that was a really good meeting out there, and I appreciate the invite to go out there. The quarterly security updates will be conducted August 26th to the 28th. This is where Nick and I come in at 4 in the morning and start prepping everything, and we reach out to all the dispatch centers at 5 in the morning, and we do the zone control rollovers in conjunction with Motorola and their techs. So that'll be happening the 26th and 28th of August. So the dispatch centers might go down for a minute or so, then come back up. So that's why we coordinate with them. But that'll be done quarterly on that one. From 18 August to 5 September, a DoD cybersecurity team will be monitoring ALMR. Does anybody have any questions on that? Mr. Reed is here, our security manager, if anybody has any questions on what that might pertain. So I open that question up to the group. If anybody has any questions on the DoD cybersecurity team. Anything in the chat? Do you want to touch on anything that, Mr. Reed, or?
No. They will have little impact on the network itself and should not be pushing any software or anything to any of the clients. They are just going to be performing a security review of the network.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reed. So going over the project status update, Nick's crews are currently out in the field conducting PMIs, same as Scott's group. They're out right now in different areas. Mr. Reed did do a security scan, and I contacted the dispatch centers that need to reboot their consoles. And this helps maintain cybersecurity of the system. So I appreciate everybody answering the emails and going out there. The TENS and CAN upgrade still being worked on. It was supposed to be completed in June. However, as of today, it's not completed. Mr. Woodall has been very proactive on that, so I appreciate his help on that. So once the TAS and TAN, which are affordable towers, everything's been upgraded and we've field tested them, I'll let the executive council know. One thing I do have for the project status, kind of a long-winded statement here, so bear with me. So on 17 July, Motorola conducted a software upgrade in the Fairbanks AST Dispatch Center. The update was due to the center moving from the MCC 7500 dispatch consoles to the newer access models. Motorola uploaded the wrong software, and if you haven't known by now, it took down all the dispatch centers on ALMR across the state for a minimum of 7 hours. So I do have a meeting set up tomorrow with all the dispatch centers and the affected parties, and we're going to discuss what happened. And Motorola did give us an after-action report. We're going to go over that and any PACE plans that dispatch centers might have. So I apologize for what happened. I'm the operations manager, so the buck stops with me. So for all the dispatch centers across the state, I do apologize for the inconvenience. Motorola has updated their checklist, and that should not happen again. And what it was, they were updating a state dispatch center. However, as everybody knows, we're 85% state, 15% federal. So it has to have a different configuration on there. So that shouldn't happen again. But once again, I apologize for that one. And we'll go over that tomorrow. Any questions before I go to the metrics? Okay. So everyone, as you can see, we'll start out with the metrics here. The monthly group and individual calls. We've a lot more than last year. So if we start looking at the group calls, 1,729,360 system-wide. The monthly push-to-talk, 2,820,861. And busies with 1,230. But keep in mind, and I like to point this out every month, 1,230 busies out of 2,820 calls. So a lot of zeros in front of us, seven. Monthly sites below 3.9, there are 23. And as you can see, the numbers have been going up precipitously the last couple of months, and it's a lot higher than last year. However, there's a very good reason for that. We've got the teams out there right now doing preventive maintenance. We do have the Motorola teams out there replacing the Alive antennas, which is just standard maintenance. So when you start taking down the antennas to replace them, those sites will drop below 3.9. So it's nothing to worry about system-wide. It's just the maintenance. And as you can see here, installing the Alive antennas affecting these sites here. Hurricane had one overheated generator. That's been fixed. And you can see here on the PMIs down here, which are preventive maintenance. So we know that they're going to go down because we're out there working on them. The only ones here were the commercial circuit. That was when the SAT system, we do have commercial backhaul, and those are beyond our control. As we start looking at subscriber counts, remember subscribers are radios. So at a request a couple months ago from the user console, Nick and his team started breaking it down for everyone. So we do have three zones. So zone one is from Denali Highway South, which includes Kodiak and Southeast. Zone two is Denali Highway North. And zone four is AWARN, which is the Municipality of Anchorage system. So if you look here, Zone 1, State of Alaska, we have it broken down here, how many radios for Zone 1 and Zone 2 for the state, DOD, and then Alaska Municipal League, which is your state and local, of course, the 6,264 or the municipality of Anchorage's radios there. That's something they have on the system. And then federal, once again, it's broken down by zone one and zone two. But the only ones that are on zone four are the municipality of Anchorage. And we do have 33,000 licenses for the system. So we like to show everyone what we have on here. So start looking at the different months. Right now we're at 32,631. A lot of people have been adding their TDMA radios, and then we do get some subscriber counts to remove some. I know one agency this past month put in a subscriber request to remove 40 radios from the system because they'd already updated their TDMA radio. But this gives you a breakdown of how many radios for the state, DOD, municipal league, and the federal. Are there any questions anybody have on the metrics? Hearing none, I'll proceed. So last we have our other items. So the OMO contract that has been signed, that went into effect July 1, 2025, and that'll go to June 30th, 2026. This leaves 3 out of 9 option years remaining for the operations management. And the monthly offsite inspections were completed by me for May, June, and July. And I will travel up to the Zone 2 master site sometime this month to conduct my inspection of that area, the backups and maintenance of the system. And those are all required per contract every year. I did complete my CJIS recertification for building and system access. That's also required. I finished that up. And then I was in Baltimore last week for conferences. So I attended the MTUG, which is Motorola Trunk User Group, and the Genesis User Forum, and APCO, the Association of Public Safety Communication Officials. So that was from last Sunday through Friday. I was down in Baltimore for those three conferences. I briefed Scott Stormo on that. And then for the next newsletter, I will have an article on there briefing on what went on, what transpired. And once I get all the slide decks, then I'll send them out to the users that want those from the training that I completed. We did postpone the Zone 2 PMI works for a while due to all the ongoing wildland fires. So now that it's starting to die down, I'm trying not to jinx us, but wildland season is starting to die down a little bit. We'll start pushing out back into Zone 2 to start doing PMIs. Just one anecdote, Operation Arctic Edge is being held in J-Bear August 12th to 13th. The focus is on interoperability, preventing human trafficking, and the impact on local communities. So they sent me an invite out there, so I'll go out there and sit in and see if they have any questions for ALMR or interoperability for the radios. Mr. Chair, that completes my report, pending any questions or comments.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Paul on any of these items? Nothing heard. So the first item of new business is to review and approve the fiscal year 27 OMO SMO operating budget, which will be presented by Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, if you look, we did leave the comments in there. This is why you have the gray area here. And this is put out every year, and it goes through. We sit down, and I get the numbers from the DOD, DPS, and also Scott from Scott Storno, and we compile the numbers for the contract. Once it's completed, then we send it to the user council. So the last user council meeting, we went over it. Some of the members had some questions, wanted some things added to that. Then once that was done, then Mary sent it out to the board members for a vote, and the majority of members voted to pass that on. So once the user council has approved it, which they have, then it's required to go to the executive council, which I'm going to propose and point out today. And if there's further questions, we can go from there. But what's going to happen, we'll discuss it today, and since we only have
three out of the four.
I know, but for the budget, though.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll go over it today, but since we do not have three voting members
for the Executive Council, for the primary voting members. We can't vote on it today, but I'll go over and discuss it and be happy to answer any questions. So I just want to preface my presentation. And then once this is done, and once Mary sends it out, and Executive Council gets a chance to vote on it, then it goes to Mr. Stormo. So the operations management contract, like I said, we have 3 out of 9 years left. It was a 10-year contract. This number here, $347,220, has not changed in the last 6 years. And that covers myself, Mary, and then also Dan Nelson. He does the training videos. And then this explains what we do. And that covers all my offsite inspections, reaching out to the members, the Executive Council meeting, the User Council meeting, and then myself attending the APOA conferences, the FBINA conferences, not the one in Baltimore, but the local ones here, and Alaska Fire Chiefs Association, Alaska Police Chiefs Association meetings. Does anybody have any comments or questions on OMO? Like I said, this will be sent out so you can read it at your leisure, too. All right, anything in the chat? So this one here, and it says estimated infrastructure operations and maintenance services. This is the Systems Management Office. This is Nick and his team and the Alamire Help Desk. This is for FY27. Their current contract will have been expired by the time FY27. So I asked agencies, the state agencies that manage this contract for an estimated amount. So that is estimated only because we don't know what that contract is going to be. I know they're in talks right now with the state for their contract, but it has not been signed. And I believe it's only in initial stages. So once again, that is estimated only, and that's the number I received from the state of Alaska. But that covers the AMR Help Desk, Nick and his team going out doing all the PMIs, Claire doing everything. So quite a few people that this contract covers.
And for clarity, no contract talks have occurred for the next contract with regard to systems management.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Woodall. Anybody have any questions on this one? Okay, moving forward. So this is the operations and maintenance cost. And if you look, this is covered in the top part here, a lot of different fiscal years for the MOA, DOD, the state of Alaska, because they run on different years or fiscal time. So it's projected, once again, I want to stress, it's projected annual cost based on best estimates available at the time of prep when we got this together. So this is FY27. So the DOD and state amounts come from Addendum A, State of Alaska and DOD life cycle for the SUAs. And then we do have the contract support. Like I said, this contract we don't know. The OMO contract stays the same, and that is broken up by Department of Defense and State of Alaska's infrastructure owners that put towards a contract, same as the SMO contract or IOMS.
Just a comment. On the estimated contract support costs, as you recall, in the User Council meeting, Scott said that number was determined by taking what we currently pay and then adding in inflation. Because state contracts do not have inflation through the period of performance of the contract. So he took into account what the impact of inflation would be on those numbers. Again, those numbers are only a independent government estimate. They are not estimates received from any potential future contractor, nor has any talks been with any future contractor, because that would be a violation of contracting and solicitation requirements.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Thanks for clarification, Mr. Ward. I appreciate it.
Yes.
And these numbers here, I reached out to the AWARN team and received those numbers from the Municipality of Anchorage. Now, keep in mind, Municipality of Anchorage, they maintain the AWARN system, which is a simulcast system at 7800 megahertz. They maintain that themselves, not through the state or the DOD. However, it is zone 4 of ALMR, so we can all talk together for interoperability. So the system upgraded systems, Alaska is one of the few that does not have a SUA. It's kind of interesting when I was down at APCO and MTUG talking to the other state representatives there, even small communities, just about all of them have a SUA contract. And what that does whenever there's equipment upgrade, for instance, the MCC 7500 access console, the SUA contract will cover all of that equipment upgrade, also the G-Series RF stations. And then at the MTUG meeting, the two-part consoles, which you have the Z1 Mini and then your console, that's actually being combined into one here, coming up in another year, and a SUA contract covers that for everyone to upgrade all that equipment. So that's what the SUA is for. But Alaska is one of the few areas and agencies that does not have one.
No, it also includes technology updates.
Yeah, for the software upgrades from 2021 to 2025. Thank you, Mr. Woodall. Here, we left a comment in here. This was requested to be added in at the last user council meeting. So the operating budget, this does not include the cost for state, federal, local, municipal agencies to replace or update their subscriber units. So this is for equipment, infrastructure, that does not include radios. And like I said, I've been working with Alaska Municipal League trying to find grants out there to help agencies find money for radios. Life cycle, like Mr. Woodall mentioned, so release 2021.1 is what we're currently on, and then that'll be hopefully upgraded to the newest software upgrade. And then you have infrastructure improvements, and then also for the DOD. So you have the two infrastructure owners, which are the state and the DOD. And once again, reflects near long-term funding requirements were not included, the OMO contract, the SMO contract, but the capital cost. So we start looking at maintenance, antennas, discs, generators, software upgrades, and Scott asked to put a 3% increment in there for inflation. So right here was the release of the software, and then the coverage enhancements, the infrastructure capital investments, and then for the DOD also to the current release, their contract, and then a system upgrade to 2+.
Just a comment on the current 2021.1 to the current technology release. That would be a capital investment that the infrastructure owners would have to make that would be required prior to entering into a SUA relationship, contract relationship with Motorola, as they require the system to be at the latest technology when SUA is enacted. So in order to move into that, which we may not get there, and the contract may have to be negotiated in a way that we start SUA. In other words, maybe a 10-year contract, but in year 3, we start the SUA because it may take, because of the multiple agencies and different funding processes that we have to go through, but we anticipate that that will be a conversation that would go on during the contract negotiation processes. We're hoping that in 2027, the agencies will have the money to do that. Hopefully in 26, we can have the money to do that, but we're not seeing that that is likely for all the agencies to line their money up to get that upgrade to that point. So we do want to we do realize that we're going to have to do a lot of education with the infrastructure owners with regard to the benefits of a SLUO approach versus a regular O&M, standard O&M PMI approach, and a capital investment to bring it up to technology levels. So there, this is going to require a lot of outreach on our part, a lot of support from the executive council, and maybe even some endorsement or support letters to legislatures and so forth. But anyways, I know that the prices look pretty high, but you're considering that you're adding into that cost, and we believe it's at somewhat of a savings, the capital investment that we make every 3 to 5 years, plus the ongoing O&M that we pay. So we pay that money anyways, but putting it all under an O&M hat will make it easier to keep the system up to date, should make it a little easier to get the money. And then when we normalize it under the O&M framework for funding, I think long-term it should eliminate some of the huge issues we have of aligning money for capital investments for upgrades. So that's a quick explanation on why that cost looks the way it looks and what we would like to see in our transition to a new contract and a new approach. So, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Woodall. Appreciate it.
And then last we have here is Municipality of Anchorage. So they're looking at their RF equipment platform migration. That's our dynamic transcoders and some more other consoles here that they're working on. So those numbers I got from Municipality of Anchorage. So any questions on the operating budget? So that's everything that I have, Mr. Chair. But once again, you'll be able to look at it on your leisure. Mary will email that out to everyone. It has already been approved by the user council. Any questions from the group? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that concludes my briefing.
Okay, thank you, sir. The second item of new business is that the Executive Council is in need of an Alaska Municipal League representative to fill the vacancy left by the retirement of Mr. Alex Boyd, who is a voting member, which will also be presented by Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as you know, Fire Chief, Deputy Chief Boyd, he's retired, and then his position is open right now on the Executive Council, and he's one of the three major voting members. Also, his job in the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association is vacant. They're trying to find that help there. So Mary did send out an email to Alaska Municipal League, and they told her that they will work on trying to get a replacement, but we do not have one at this time, Mr. Chair, but we're working on it.
All right. Thank you for the update. The next meeting is scheduled for October 16th, 2025. Please check your calendars and let Mary know if you have any conflicts. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer at this time? At this time, I'll accept a motion and then a second from any of the council members to adjourn the meeting.
Brad Whalen, I make a motion to adjourn.
And Gina Burrington, I will second.
Thank you. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. See you at the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everyone. And look for the email from Mary on the budget. Thank you.